We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. This is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our beautiful sister in Christ, Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Delight the White Shepherd. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Come out of your corner fighting. Yeah.
Throw punching the devil today.
Yeah, we're fighting a good fight of faith. We're resting in Jesus. We're just sitting there in the corner on the bench watching Jesus beat the devil up.
Yeah.
You know, we'll give him some faith-filled words to use on our behalf. And trust him and he'll just do it. Amen.
I'm not fighting for victory. No. I'm walking with the victor.
Yeah, we're fighting from a position of victory, aren't we? We're always on top.
I ain't got to worry about it because it's already done.
There you go.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City. Pastor Chasten Music. We are better together. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're here today. Even if it's later, we do get notifications. I think I covered it all.
Yeah.
Would you pray to start us out,
sir? You got
it
down. I will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're so thankful to you again, always. Lord, every time you wake us up, Lord God, you're right there. Your Holy Spirit is right there to greet us. Your mercies are new every day. Your love never fails. You're faithful and steadfast and true. Your word is reliable and can always be counted upon. Your character doesn't change. God, thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to save us. And Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you were willing to come and be a sacrifice on our behalf and lay your life down willingly, that we could be forgiven and that we could have an opportunity to be born again, have the life that you intended us to have. And so we just entrust ourselves to you today, and we thank you for this program. We thank you, Lord, that every step of the way throughout all these years, you have always guided and directed this program. This truly is your hour of power. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We surrender ourselves to you and ask that your will be done, that every word is spoken, everything that happens here, Lord God, would be done according to your plans and purposes. And we do ask you for open hearts, open mind, teachable spirits, and pray that your will be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. Love Boat.
The Love Boat. You know, I had to write that down when I got out in the parking lot because I was on the way over here this morning. I was like, you know, they're going to ask me for a title because a lot of times I'll come in here and you'll ask me for, what's your title today? And I'm like, yeah. You can testify to that, right? I'm like, you know. So I thought, what are we going to talk about? You know, I know where we're going in the scripture, or I believe I know where we're going. And the Lord's like, call it the Love Boat. And I'm like, awesome. All right. I like that. And then I felt like the Lord said to me this. He said, I want your life to look more like the Love Boat than the Poseidon Adventure or the crash of the Titanic. And life is going to be one of those things. I mean, it's either going to be a great voyage, an adventure that's wonderful, and or it's not. And you say, man, I don't, you know, it's all whatever God sends my way. No, it's not actually. He's made you the captain of your own ship. He's given you and I the power of free will to choose things that are going to determine whether or not we're on a love boat voyage or whether we're on a Poseidon adventure or the Titanic crash. It really is up to us. Not completely up to us. It's to choosing. The choosing is up to us. Making it happen is determined by our willingness to let God be God in our lives. So many people, honestly, live their lives like they want to be God. Until they need him, of course. And, man, Pastor, that's a little heavy. You starting out a little heavy today already. We're just going to encourage ourselves from the scriptures today how to have that kind of a life that's going to make it more of a delightful cruise than a misadventure. I've had the blessing of being on a couple, three or four cruises. And they're all pretty much, you know, them ships are big and they can take a lot of stuff. But, boy, this one cruise we were on, we come into hurricane force winds. And the waves were, they said the waves were 25 to 30 feet. Now, this ship's about 3,000 feet long, something like that. I don't remember how exact. No, 1,300 feet long, 3,000 people. But it was still giving it this, and the water in the swimming pool would hit one end and fly way up to the other. It was pretty neat. I wasn't scared. You know, we prayed. We knew that we were where God wanted us to be at the time, and so we weren't too worried about it, but it was interesting to say the least. I would not want it to be that way all the time. For one thing, there were a lot of people that were not taking it very well. Some of them were terrorized. I mean, they were terribly afraid. Some of them were just seasick. I didn't get seasick. Sharon didn't either on that, but it was interesting, but I would not want it to be that turbulent all the time. But there are people who've gotten used to their lives literally being turbulent all the time. They don't hardly know what to do when it comes along and it's not turbulent anymore. But I want to tell you that God wants your life. I'm not saying your life will ever be without any turbulence, but I believe God wants our life in general to be smooth sailing. Not because the waves aren't there, but because Jesus is in the boat with us. Amen. So let's begin in the Word this morning with 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 and 19. You'll see where we get our theme here from. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Timothy 1, Paul writes, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes to Timothy so that you and I could read it today and get encouragement out of it. He said, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to what? To faith, and that's not all, but a good conscience. Could I say it differently? A clean conscience? A clear conscience? A conscience that's not violated and feeling guilty before God? He said, Timothy, fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. And he goes, some have rejected these, faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these, and so they have what? What did they say they've done to their faith? They shipwrecked it. They shipwrecked their faith. Who shipwrecked their faith? The devil? No. It says they did. They shipwrecked their faith because they didn't hold on to faith, and they didn't hold on to a good conscience. In other words, they didn't keep their conscience clear and clean before God, and they didn't hold on. Where does faith come? Come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not listening for the Word of God in your life by reading His written Word and having your heart and mind open to hearing the direction of the Holy Spirit, I like to use that word. I mean, sometimes direction means correction, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just means instruction. So I like that. The Holy Spirit directs our steps. You know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. The Passion Translation says, become intimate with him in everything you do, and he'll lead you in the right way. That's a key. But see, some people don't do that. And we're all capable of not doing that. We're all capable of, I mean, sometimes your life ever get to a place where you catch yourself just distracted. One of the things that the Holy Spirit told me going into 2013, and here we are, first Wednesday of November already. It's like mind-blowing. But coming in, it was about December of 2022, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, going into 2023, I want you to tell my people this. And I'll keep telling them, and I've told them over and over, Monica will know this. You probably, if you've heard me very much this year, you probably know this too. But he said this. He said, celebrate every victory. That was the number one thing. So you're going to be busy doing that. You're keeping your eyes on what God is doing. You're not looking around at what you think he's not doing. So you're celebrating the victories. That'll keep you encouraged. He said, don't be disappointed. Don't be distracted. Distracted. Distraction is like, you know, you're trying to do your homework, and everything's going on, and you just can't get it done. And you go to school the next day, when you and you're like, you got a paper that must be turned in for your grade, and you didn't do it. You had time. Of course, you're going to say, I didn't have time. Or, you know that old thing, that my dog ate my homework? You know. Well, the truth is we can get pulled away from what's good for us. And even in our lives, as I believe today, if you're listening to me, you probably are a devoted Christian person. If you're not, you can be. Just simply committing yourself to the Lord today and making a decision to live his way. You can become that devoted, committed person that you'd like to be. But we have to continue. And Paul wrote to Timothy, so there are people that have not continued. They have not held on to faith, not held on to that hearing, that faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and they've not held on to a good conscience. In other words, they compromised. They begin to let things creep in. And because of that, their faith became what? Shipwrecked. Now, you can take that to mean whatever you want it to mean. But I don't think that there's any of us here that's going to say, man, they shipwrecked their faith. That sure is good. I wish I could shipwreck my faith. No, we know it's bad. Whatever it means, does it mean they completely rejected Jesus Christ and they're no longer even a follower of Jesus? They don't even believe in Jesus anymore? That's a possibility. But at the very least, it means this, that their faith has become so damaged that it's not functioning anymore. And that's not a place we want to be. So, with that in mind, we're going to see what we need to do to make sure that our life's more like the Love Boat than the Titanic. How we're not going to shipwreck our faith. So I want you to look over 2 Timothy, the very next book of the Bible, just a page or two away. 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at verse 1, or chapter 1, and we'll start reading verse 3. 2 Timothy 1, 3. Paul writes to Timothy again by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we could read it today. Do you know that God had you in mind when he wrote the word? He did. He writes, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a what kind of conscience? Clear conscience. Let me ask you something, friend, today. How's your conscience doing? How do you feel when you come into the house of God? You feel like, man, I'm home. This is where I belong. You know? This is my family. I love it here. I can't wait to come back. How do you feel when someone starts talking about the things of God? Do you get a little bit uneasy because there are things you know you need to go have a kneecap session with Jesus about? You need to. You ever heard those words, Neva? You ever heard? There are times where people are. They'll do something. They'll allow something to happen in their life. And then they feel guilty about it. The devil's always wanting to do this to you. He makes you feel guilty about it. First of all, we wouldn't do sinful things if it were not for the influence of the enemy. But we are the ones that do have the final decision. So when we do wrong, it is us. We can't blame it on the devil. We can't blame it on another person. It's us. And but the good news is when we admit that and we own up to it, the Bible says if you confess your sins, your faults to God, he's faithful and just to forgive you. and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So it's like, wow, okay, cool. That doesn't mean I'm going to go out and sin on purpose, because after all, I can just get cleaned right up. If that's your heart, there's something desperately wrong with your conscience. The truth is, when we're born again, we still can sin. We just don't like it. It's like a sheep could go wallow in the mud with the pigs, but he's probably not going to like it because he's not built for it. Pigs love it. They can't sweat. Did you know that? Did you know pigs can't sweat? That's probably why they stink so bad. Pigs literally do not have sweat glands. I know, I raised pigs my whole life growing up. They can't sweat. You know why they wallow in the mud? Because that mud is a protection between them and the sun. It's like an extra coating. It actually helps keep them cool. They love to wallow in the mud because it helps keep them cool. And so that's why they do it. But a sheep don't need that. They wear wool coats all summer. They don't need to wallow in the mud. When we're born again, we become a sheep in the Lord's pasture. We were created to be that. We can sin, but it's not going to feel good anymore. And the truth of the matter is, it never really did feel good. It felt good in the moment, maybe, but it didn't feel good later, did it? And the more and the more and the more we did it, the worse it felt. And our lives looked more like shipwrecks than a voyage, a cruise. So we turned away from our sins, and we asked God to forgive us and save us, and he did. And now we're sailing along with Jesus, but we've got to keep a clear conscience. We've got to keep our conscience clear. Paul wrote, I serve. I thank God whom I what? I serve God. I serve God. He didn't say God serves me. He said, I serve God. And he said, I serve God with a clear conscience. Night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. When Paul was leaving, I believe Timothy felt a little inadequate. He did not want Paul leaving. Paul and departed from Timothy. Timothy in tears, literally, with his love for his mentor, Paul. Verse 5, he said, I'm reminded, watch this, put your eyes on the word if you can, 2 Timothy 1:5. I've been reminded of your sincere faith. If you're a King James person, unfeigned means sincere. He said, I've been reminded of your unfeigned faith. That's King James. Sincere faith. I want to give you another word. Genuine faith. Living faith. He said, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. Three generations in Timothy's family had all had faith. His grandmother, his mother, and now him. He comes from a tradition of Christianity. That's awesome. You see, if you got that in your life, that's a blessing. It's a wonderful gift. If not, you can start that in your family. You can be the first, right? You don't say, well, I can't do it. I don't have that. You can be the first. But here Timothy is being reminded by Paul, I know you have sincere faith. I know that not only you have sincere faith, your mom has sincere faith, your grandmother has sincere faith. And so here's what he tells somebody. Listen to me. Here's what he tells a third-generation Christian that has sincere faith. I remind you, for this reason, because you have sincere faith, for this reason, I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Who did he write that to about, hey, son, you need to fan into flame the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of my hands, because God didn't give you a spirit of fear. God gave you a spirit of love and power and sound mind. So what's his countenance? What's going on with him? Well, pretty obviously, it's gotten back to Paul that Timothy has been so beat up that he is now, instead of being Timothy, he's just being timid. He's not witnessing like he should. He's not living the bold Christian life. And Paul writes to him, he goes, I know you got genuine faith, son. I remember the genuine faith living in your grandmother, your mother, and I am, he said, persuaded. That means that Paul saw evidence of it. See, persuasion comes by evidence. If you automatically just believe something, nobody has to persuade you. But when you're holding out and you're not, I don't know if I believe that or not, and then there's evidence and you start coming around and go, yeah, yeah, I'm convinced. See, that's what Paul said about Timothy. He goes, I've watched you, I've looked at you, and I understand and I am fully persuaded that genuine faith lives in you. And because of that, I'm reminding you, and today I'm reminding you and me, fan into flame the gift of God that's in you. Because you have genuine faith, you've got to keep the flame of God fanned into flame. The Passion Translation literally says that you need to rekindle the flame. You ever gone camping and it's cold, you know, in the evening or whatever, it's kind of cold, and you got your nice fire going, you know, and then it's time to go to bed, so you get that baby. Here's what I do. I put all kinds of fire on there, and then I go to bed because I know that if my fire's going big enough when I go to bed, I could sleep all night long, and I get up in the morning, and even though it might not be flaming, there's actually still fire there. It may be covered up with some ashes. It may just be smoldering. But if I get over there and I'll put a little bit of wood on there and begin to fan that thing, it'll come up. I don't have to go relight the fire. Can I say it to you that way? You don't always have to go relight your fire. There are a lot of people that do not understand that when your fire has waned down, you don't have to go and get saved again. Did you reject your salvation? I pray you didn't. Most likely you didn't, right? But you may have gotten so off track, and it won't happen overnight, but you may have gotten so off track that you literally feel like you don't have any relationship with Jesus. Your conscience is so beat up, so dirty, if you want to put it that way, or so not clear anymore, that you feel like that you don't have any right to even talk to God. It happens. And what needs to happen? You don't need to go light the fire again. You need to rekindle the fire again. You need to fan into flame the gift of God that's in you. The gift of God. Well, what is the gift of God? Well, the scripture uses the gift of God phrase to describe salvation. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's one way to express the gift of God. The New Testament in the book of Acts calls the baptism in the Holy Spirit the gift of God. There was a sorcerer who watched the apostles lay hands on people and they received the Holy Spirit and were filled, and he thought he could. He offered the apostles money, said, give me this ability so that when I lay my hands on people, they'll be filled with the Spirit. So obviously there was evidence there. I mean, I believe there was physical evidence that he could see and hear with his ears. I believe they started uttering words they didn't understand with their spirit, just like on the day of Pentecost. Not weird. Biblical. If you think it's weird, you need to get biblical. Hello. Now, that may or may not be your tradition. That's okay. You just let the Lord deal with that. But it's biblical. But whatever he was seeing or hearing, it moved this man who had made his money by being a deceiving sorcerer. It moved him enough that he offered the apostles money. And Peter's response was, how dare you think that you could buy the gift of God with money? The gift of God with money. So the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence and power is referred to as the gift of God. Our salvation is referred to as the gift of God. In Romans chapter 5, I believe it is, in three verses it refers to the gift of God, Jesus, our Savior, the salvation that comes through him is the gift of God. Five times, gift of God. So what is it that Paul's telling Timothy he needs to stir up? You need to stir up or fan into flame or rekindle the gift of God that's in you. He say, reestablish your salvation relationship with Jesus. That's part of it. That's one side of the coin. But I believe he's also telling him, you need to stir up the Holy Spirit that's in you. Because he says the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, laying on of hands usually does not, that's not usually how people get saved, is it? The Bible tells us if we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that he risen from the dead, that we are saved. So you don't normally, you know, somebody don't lay hands on you and pray over you for you to get saved. Normally that laying on of hands in Scripture is the impartation of the Holy Spirit. So what Paul is writing to Timothy is this. You need to fan into flame the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you through the laying on of my hands. So here is a guy, and he's actually a pastor. Timothy is a pastor. He's a pastor in a tough place on the Isle of Crete, island of Crete, where Cretans live. I mean, literally, he's surrounded. It's not a cool, it's not an easy place to be, but that's where God's people need to go, into the dark places. Amen. So Timothy's there, and he's become so discouraged that he's being timid. And Paul writes to him, goes, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, but son, you need to fan into flame the gift of God that's in you. Because God didn't give you that spirit of fear. If you're not walking around in your life every day boldly being the Christian that God called you to be and created you to be, if you're afraid to talk to people about God when you're at the post office or here, there, or whatever, somebody comes up to you and they have an obvious a need in their life and you won't pray with them right now, there's, listen, that's, that timidity is not the way God wants you to live. Christian. Now, I don't believe he wants us to be standing on a street corner with a megaphone yelling God's word at people and telling them how lost they are. I don't believe that's effective. I just don't believe it. But I do believe that God wants us to have the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the clear conscience that comes from fellowship with the Holy Spirit, so that when it comes to the things of God, we're good with it. We're not timid. We're not shy. So what we've got to do is we've got to make sure that our fire don't go out. Apparently, Timothy's fire had not gone out, but it was smoldering. And he is a man, a third generation Christian, who's a minister. And his fire is just smoldering. And because of his smoldering relationship with Christ rather than his heated, passionate relationship with Christ, timidity has crept into his life. He's being fearful. How about that? If it can happen to Timothy, could it happen to me? Yes. But guess what? I'm not going to let it. Because when it comes to fire, Monica may remember this, the Lord gave me a word. A few years ago, I wrote it down, I repeated it over and over. A fire constantly enjoyed never goes out. When I go camping, the only time my fire even come close to going out is when I'm asleep. Because when I'm awake and the fire's going, what do you think I'm doing? I'm doing what you do. I'm sitting there enjoying the crackle. I'm poking it with a stick. I'm giving it another log when it don't even really need one. You know, am I right? I mean, maybe that's a man thing. I don't really know. All the people, all the men I know do that. They're like, they overfeed the fire. They're wanting to put a log on it when they don't even need one. 100 degrees, we're going camping. 100 degrees, we're building a fire. But we might have to set back 10 feet because the thing's so hot. But we're playing with the fire, playing with the fire. What we're actually doing is enjoying the fire. Now, here I have a question for you. Are you enjoying the fire of God in your life? Are you? Are you maintaining the fire of God in your life by throwing another log on the fire, cooking up some bacon and some beans? No. Are you enjoying your passionate, heated, fiery relationship with Jesus? Or are you muddling through life, just trying to keep yourself Christian enough to be okay with God? That is not how he wants you to live. Amen. So, Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4 is where we're going to go next. That's forward in your Bible, toward the front. Not too far, though. Romans 15, and in verse 4, Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. I've been in the ministry now for a little bit over 30 years. I've been pastoring Living Water Church in Burns Flat since February of 1996. It's been a minute. Sometimes it only seems like a minute to me, and sometimes it seems like a millennial. I've seen a lot of people come and go. Sometimes they go because they're sent, and, you know, that's good. They've come, they've got built up, and off they go, and they're off to their next adventure with God to go do what God tells them to do. That's cool. I like that. I can live with that. I sow them as a seed and believe God for a multifold harvest. But I've also seen a whole lot of people shipwreck their faith. I've seen people whose fire went out to the point where they not only won't darken the doors of our church anymore, but they don't darken the doors of anybody's church. And one of the duties and responsibility as a pastor is to go after those strays. But listen, I learned a long time ago, you can't make someone serve the Lord. If I could, I promise you, Monica, would I make somebody serve? You better believe I'd make them serve the Lord. You better be glad I ain't God.
He'd come grab you by the ear.
I'm glad I ain't God. I'm glad I ain't God. He's merciful and gracious and kind and loving and understanding, and I try to be gracious, kind, merciful. He is. I try. But seriously, I have never, this is the truth, believe me, I'm not making this up. God is my witness. I have never seen a person who is consistent in the Word, consistent in their fellowship with other believers, consistent in their life of prayer, and living a clean life, keeping a clear conscience. I have never, not once, not ever, seen that person shipwreck themselves, falter, fall away. Where'd they go? They used to serve God. They don't serve God no more. I have not seen that happen. Not in 30 years I have not seen. Not one. But I have seen, it pains me, but I have seen hundreds, if not more, hundreds of people come, and boy, they'll get going. They'll get trucking for a minute. And there's an explanation for that. It's called spiritual warfare. The enemy comes after that. When the seed of God is sown, the enemy comes to first steal it or persecute it out of you or crowd it out of you. You can read the parable of the seed and the sower, and you'll find out where I got that from, Matthew 13. But the enemy's not just going to let somebody just, oh, they came to Jesus, I guess I'll go find somebody else to pick on. Man, when it comes to Jesus, you better buckle up, buckle in, get plugged in, get growing. And people tend to do that. A lot of people will do that. Some of them don't. I mean, there are people that will come, and they seem as passionate as you've ever seen. They received the Lord that week, and then you just can't get them to get plugged in. But time will go on. I mean, I did not begin serving the Lord the first time I ever prayed and asked for forgiveness. Did you? I didn't. But at some point in my life, I prayed and meant it with every fiber of my being and took off running a race that I've not stopped running. But the difference is those other times when I prayed, I knew I was lost. I knew I needed forgiveness, but I didn't really change anything. I didn't start reading the Word. I didn't fellowship with other Christians. It's just kind of like, well, I got forgiven, I got cleaned up, then I went right back to doing the same things. Somebody said, well, you didn't get born again. That may be true, but here's something that I can say that's not maybe. The thing that changed in my life, that changed me so dramatically, was that when I prayed that prayer in Orlando, Florida that morning in 1991, when I prayed that prayer in Orlando, Florida that morning, I got in a Suburban to come home that day, and I read the entire Gospel of John that day. And I got such a hunger for the Word of God that I have never, it wrecked me in the best possible way. And I've never not hungered for the Word of God. And so my life has been filled with the Word of God every day. Filled with the Word of God. And the Word of God is your source of encouragement. So I encourage you. Read that Word today. And pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray over some prayer requests. If you haven't got yours to us, we'll pray over them. Amen.